Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Q2 FY 2024 earnings conference call of Subex Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star and then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. G.V. Krishnakant. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you very much. Good morning to everyone who has joined the earnings call for the quarter and half-year ended September 30th, 2023. Now, I'd like to introduce the members of the management who are present for this call. Along with me, I have Ms. Nisha Dutt, CEO, and Mr. Sumit Kumar, Chief Financial Officer of the company. I would like to start the conference call by going through the safe harbor clause. Certain statements in this call concerning our future growth prospects are forward-looking statements, which involve a number of risks and uncertainties that could cause actual results to differ materially from those in such forward-looking statements. The risks and uncertainties relating to these statements, including but not limited to fluctuations in earnings, our ability to successfully integrate acquisitions, competition in our area of business, client concentration, liability for damages in our contract, withdrawal of tax incentives, political instability, or other misuse of our intellectual property, and general economic conditions affecting our country. With this, now I hand over this call to Ms. Nisha Dutt to take it forward.
Thank you, G.V.K. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and a warm welcome to Subex's investor call. We are delighted to have you with us today as we share important updates. So firstly, let's kick off by honing in on our strategic focus. I am happy to share that I've been focused on engaging with our customers. That's kind of been my number one priority, and they have shown significant enthusiasm for the concepts that we have been talking about now, which are, you know, connected experiences, artificial intelligence, and leveraging AI, 5G for enhancing their product offerings. So our strategy involves collaborating with our customers to realize this vision. So what we are doing is we are co-creating products and solutions with them to ensure that our use cases are immediately applicable to their context. So this approach not only strengthens our relationship with our clients, but also initiates entirely new discussions that we have not previously explored as Subex. So this has been very exciting for me. As I mentioned earlier, one of my large commitments is also to enhance our product range and offerings that we provide to our customer base. This will, like I said in the last time, it will also help us reach a larger market. So we are progressing with several partnerships that will propel us forward in this direction. Turning to the business updates, I mentioned in the last call that we would do it, you know, against three dimensions of growth, efficiency, and talent. So coming to the first one regarding our growth, I'm happy to announce that we have sustained quarter-on-quarter progression, as is evident by the results. Furthermore, I think in this quarter, we have successfully onboarded three new clients across our product spectrum. So this signifies that there are opportunities for us just beyond our RASM portfolio. Our commitment to investing in our AI portfolio really remains strong. We are particularly excited about using Gen AI use cases tailored for telcos. A recent milestone includes the launch of our production-ready Gen AI solution in collaboration with Google, which was unveiled at GTW Copenhagen. So as most of you know, this is an important conference that we attend. This served as a demonstration of how Gen AI addresses our customer experience challenges, particularly in the areas of fraud management and revenue assurance. Also, continuing my commitment to co-creating solutions with our customers, we recently wrapped up a user conference that we held in Malaysia called Connections. So this event was really well attended by all the key clients in the region, which showcased hands-on workshops, you know, unveiling and discovering new use cases. So this is how we have been engaging very closely with our clients. The second aspect of the update I wanted to give on was on efficiency. We are bolstering our product portfolio by actively investing in partnerships. So while we are invested in developing our own products, we are also going with partnership model, which this helps us optimize our spending and also get our products out to the market much faster. So this is again, you know, something that we are quite focused on right now. The third aspect, of course, is talent. We are making sure that our teams get better by giving them training on, you know, latest developments in AI and other technologies. We really care about them learning and getting better personally. That also helps us grow as a company. So we continue to double down on diversity and inclusion initiatives. That is, you know, personally quite important to me. And we have seen very good success with our initiative that we have launched. It's called She Returns, which really encourages women to return to the workforce once, you know, they leave workforce. So we have seen really good results with that. Next, I'll cover consolidated financial results for the quarter that ended on September 30th, 2023. So performance highlights, they are with you, but just, you know, for the sake of completion, the revenue for the period is at 768 million as against INR 673 million in the previous quarter. So this is a quarter-on-quarter growth of 14%. EBITDA for the period is at 46 million negative against the negative EBITDA of 147 million for the quarter that ended on June 30th. PAT for the period is INR negative INR 111 million as against INR 193 million. And all in all, I think we have registered better performance in this quarter, you know, compared to last quarter. And I see this as a part of our, you know, I almost think of it as, you know, we are trying to recover and turn around this. So I see a positive momentum, and I think that, you know, we are focused on or committed to delivering growth. Thank you for your constant support as always. I wish you all a very happy Diwali. We are now open to your questions and comments.
Thank you, ma'am. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. If you have a question, please press star and 1 on your telephone keypad and wait for your turn to ask the question. If you would like to withdraw your request, you may do so by pressing star and 1 again. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have any question, please press star and 1 on your telephone keypad. We will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. First question comes from Mahesh Kumar, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Question is related to IoT security. What is your roadmap for IoT security? And are we going to adopt this IoT security product which we have for software-defined vehicles? Because there are multiple projects going in Europe and US on software-defined vehicles. And the software-defined vehicles, security is going, electronic security is going to be an important element. That is first question. Second question is, our manpower cost and other expenses are going up every quarter. So are you going to work on reducing the manpower cost and also the other expenses so that profitability will go up? The IT companies should have at least 25% plus EBITDA margin. So these are the two questions.
Thank you, Mahesh, for that. Sorry, you can hear me, correct, Mahesh?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay. No, thank you for that. So on the IoT specifically, so there are two parts, right? I mean, just to clarify it to everyone. So we have something in our portfolio which is you know, IoT focus, which is where, you know, you would be able to do this connected cars and all that. But the one that you are probably referring to, Sectrio, is actually an OT security solution, which is, you know, more industrial security. So what they do is they sort of, you know, secure, maybe, you know, it's an ONG pipeline, it's an airport. So they do that kind of work. It's more industrial security, but that's not to say that we don't have IoT kind of solutions in our portfolio. That's something that's an active area of investigation and, you know, kind of focus for us. And when we are able to make progress on it, I'll come back to you and tell you more. But certainly, you know, I completely take your point that
2-3 years back in one of the investor, multiple investor calls, Subex management was highlighting IoT security, which they then enhanced to OT security.
Correct.
See, IoT security, we have a center of excellence in US. With one of the town, IoT security has been implemented.
Yes. So that's what I'm coming to. Actually, the pivot that they made, the previous management made a pivot to more towards OT security. So we have actually shifted focus. So right now, it's only industrial security that they are on.
The technology is same. Technology is same.
Technology is not same. Actually, the protocols are so.
No, the IoT, original, you know, more original product, security. Original product was IoT security, because we were targeting smart security, smart cities, then vehicle securities. See, one of the first announcement by the Subex was on IoT security for a vehicle manufacturer, OEM.
Correct. No, that was the case. But when they kind of started, we did develop products on IoT. But then, they found that OT security was a much bigger opportunity actually for them. So the focus shifted to OT. So a lot of protocols that Sectrio is running today is actually on OT. It's not on IoT right now. The underlying tech, it is, I would say it's common, but, our positioning is more towards OT right now. That's not to say that we will not go back and relook at IoT. That is something
there will be millions of vehicle on the road using software-defined vehicle technology.
Agree.
And they will need all the security. If we are not targeting that market, then what we are targeting?
So currently the target is, doing the hard assets, but I take your point on board because this is also an area of investigation for us. And hopefully, I'll be able to come back and answer this question better. But this is something that's been, an area of investigation. But currently, our focus is certainly on the OT security side.
No, but for growth, we need this segment.
Okay. No, I hear you. I hear you. And definitely, we will circle back with you on this. Sumit, do you want to cover the manpower cost?
So, manpower cost, if you see quarter on quarter, the manpower cost remains same. We are able to hold the cost on the manpower. Apart from that, we are also optimizing the manpower cost. And,
see, what is happening, our manpower cost is 80% of our sales.
That is true.
Which is very high.
No, so our manpower cost is including one is the R&D function or the product line, and another is the delivery line to that. Okay, once we sold the market. So if you ask me, we are able to improve our gross margin in the sense if I go with the delivery cost direct one-to-one correlation. But having said that, the whole issue which has happened and which we are in the process is to our top line has actually reduced it for multiple reasons, and now we are closely monitoring our manpower cost. If you see quarter on quarter, it is actually controlled as a cost, and further there is a cost optimization exercise has been keep on doing this exercise to ensure the key talent has been retained, and we are working on our high level productivity here. Obviously, there is a scope of improvement, but having said that, the overall cost we are kind of tightening it very hard. On the other cost, again, it is quarter on quarter, it is controlled. This quarter, we have a exchange, FX loss has come up close to 1.8 crores due to the currency weakening on the GBP INR and also the Euro AED side. So there is a bit of FX has come in. That has gone into the other cost line as FX loss. If I just negate that impact, then actually it's actually reduced as the other cost. So quarter on quarter, I can just comment on that, saying that we are controlling the cost on that. And obviously, the focus is towards to come to the positive EBITDA side.
See, my one point is, manpower cost, if our sales growth is not more than 30% plus or 25% plus, and we are retaining the same manpower cost, which is 80% of the sale, that means there is a complacency in the cost control. It has to come down drastically if sales is not growing. Either sales should grow.
So our cost is not like 100% variable or fungible. So there is a fixed cost of a manpower which you need to maintain, and that is a variable component to that. So as Nisha just mentioned, the idea is to bring the top line back, and we are just focusing towards that. So whatever the lost ground which we did it, we are just recovering it back. And we'll be maintaining very lean cost management here. Yeah.
But see, if we are not using AI internally to reduce the cost, then cost is not going to come down. Most of the testing can be done by AI. Manpower can be reduced on that front.
We are taking optimization measures, Mahesh, but as focus goes, right? I mean, cost is definitely bringing efficiencies is one aspect, but my focus is on to see if we can grow the top line, because I think you can do whatever you want on the cost aspect, but unless we are very laser focused on top line, overall the company will not grow.
See, top line is not growing for last 10 years. That means there is some serious problem in.
But that's what exactly the journey is about, right? We are trying to kind of, you know, transform that. We are on that recovery. And I really want to see if we can make a dent there, really, you know, because at the end of the day, like Sumit said, right, there is a certain amount of cost that we will have to carry. That will cap out. And so top line has to be our focus currently.
No, from next quarter.
I'm sorry to interrupt you, sir.
No, just as a final point to Nisha. Next quarter meeting after in the results, can you tell whether we are targeting SDV security or not?
Definitely. I'll circle back with you, Mahesh.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. I request the participants to restrict with two questions in the initial round and join back the queue for more questions. Next question comes from Abhishek Kale, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible?
Yes, you are, Abhishek. Please go ahead.
Hey, Nisha, one question. You said that we have added three new logos in this quarter. Is it possible for you to share the details and like the contract size? If you can share the names, which three new companies we have, and how are they contributing to our monthly MRR?
So I'm not sure. GDK, do you?
Yeah, hi, Abhishek. So definitely, so once we see that, you know that there are rules against disclosures.
Right.
So we can do a broad information. We can disclose the broad information that so that's what we have did in this call. So definitely, when more specifics to it, we will do a disclosure around it.
But I think one thing, what is positive about, and the reason I even mentioned is the positive thing is that these are, you know, in the portfolios that we have been trying to grow. So, you know, all the wins have come from portfolio areas which are sort of, you know, not the ones that give us, you know, bulk of our revenue. So we are seeing new green shoots, right? So I think that's the more exciting part for us, actually. And that's why I wanted to kind of report that.
Absolutely wonderful. Nisha, sorry to interrupt, but if you could spell at least the details on which areas, because I mean, I'm just trying to understand if there are green shoots in which area. So if possible, please.
Could you, sure. So green shoots are in the areas of network asset management. So network asset management is something that we have had in our portfolio. I will not say that we haven't had it before, but we are seeing a lot more, you know, sort of, we are starting to see momentum. So, so it's in the network asset management and security. So we are seeing, you know, momentum in both areas.
Okay. And Nisha, so if I may ask, what are the kind of margins in these two areas that we typically see as a company?
So we have a, so basically as at the company level, you know, before we take on any project, there is a minimum margin requirement actually, which we have, without which projects cannot be approved or, you know, we don't go forward. And that's what's consistent across portfolio. So we don't do it by product. So it's not that, you know, in a RESM I have a certain margin requirement or, and on. So that's just to tell you that while we want to do some land grab opportunities, that does not mean that we will compromise on margin. So margin requirement stays quite stringent. We are quite stringent about that, actually. And we make case-to-case calls, you know, if you feel that there is a necessity to sort of make special calls. But again, I would say broadly, there is a stringent margin requirement, and we stick to that, actually, regardless of, you know, what area it is.
Perfect. If I may ask one more question.
Sure, please go ahead.
It's regarding the HyperSense integration. In the past quarters, I'm talking about Q3 FY22-23 and Q4. And in the first quarter, I don't think we had any issues with HyperSense integration. So the challenges that we had, I mean, while we rolled out HyperSense, it was like a gung-ho product that we were everything is sorted out, but then we had implementation challenges. So now, are those challenges resolved as we onboard more customers on HyperSense?
Obviously, you know, every product is a, I mean, every product has a roadmap, right? When you introduce products, it, the development never ends on a product, you know, it means that, you know, new and new, newer features come. as and when client requirements grow. So there is a constant roadmap that we are driving towards on HyperSense. And I would say that, you know, we have been doing well, actually. You know, we have that install base is also growing for us.
Perfect. Yeah. So thanks for the update. And one request, if I can make, the presentation or the board meeting outcome slides which were uploaded on Exchange. I mean, it's hard to read. It's hard to read. If you guys can upload a better copy, that would be much appreciated.
Oh, okay. No, thank you for that feedback. We didn't know that. We'll get that fixed, Abhishek.
Okay, thank you. Appreciate
thank
it.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Next question comes from Sanjay, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello, good morning. Am I audible?
Yes, you are, Sanjay. Please go ahead.
Yeah. So congratulations, Nisha and team. I think we are seeing a good turnaround. I mean, last two quarters, things are getting better. Revenue is going up and margins have improved. I mean, loss has come down. So this is a really good sign and hoping for really better things going forward. My question is about the Subex business. Is it like a seasonal business in the sense the Q3 and Q4, like at the end of the year, the things picks up more or it impacts in Q3 and Q4? Is it because of the licenses or something? The question is about Q3 and Q4, are those going to be better than Q2? Is it the increment will be happening on the revenue and margins?
So, no, thank you, first of all, Sanjay. You know, it's always good to hear some good feedback. But, you know, as you know, Q3, Q4, for me to make any comment would be a forward-looking statement. But I can tell you that our commitment or at least our best efforts are always to see, you know, how we can do best by our shareholders. You have been with us and we really appreciate, actually, all the support. But specifically on Q3, Q4, I wouldn't be able to make a direct statement.
No, only whether it's seasonal. I mean, because many of the IT services companies, the Q3 is probably impacts because of furloughs and other things and holidays. But the product companies probably because of licenses and things. Actually, Q3 and Q3. So just how the model of your business is it? You can just give some
information. You are right. Historically, you are correct. Historically, usually, you know, H2s are better than H1s. So historically, that has been a pattern. If you go back and look. We are hoping we can do that.
Thank you. And the second question is about the recurring revenue. We are seeing that it's a 2.3 million per month. I think the same number was there in Q1 as well. I mean, there is no change, is it? So the more so this recurring revenue is going to improve going further, or this is going to be staying like this for this financial year?
I'll just clarify to the investor how our recurring revenue has been considered. It actually starts once our project finishes and then the subscription starts. And our contracts are or our products are slightly a long duration implementation phase. So that's how the quarter on quarter improvement, because this is the 12 months MRR kind of a number. And that's what this number, you will not show an immediate growth. Once we start executing and finishing the projects, the MRR will trigger and then you will see it. So this number which we normally report, it is based on the 12 months how the MRR looks like.
Okay. Thank you. And the last question is about there is no press release or anything happening. There are three logos are there. Since 14 July 2023, there is not a single press release about any new win or new things happening or new partnerships happening. So it would be really nice from the investor community or even from your well-wishers, at least get the idea of what is really happening. Otherwise, we just come to know only quarter-to-quarter calls that some updates are there, but not really details we are getting it. So it will appreciate really some press releases about what things are happening and now any news wins or partnerships happening. This is really great.
Yeah, sure. No, I will make a note of that. We'll try and be a little bit more active on our releases, actually.
Thank you, and all the best. I will be in the queue again. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Sanjay.
Thank you. I request the participants to restrict with two questions in the initial round and join back the queue for more questions. Next question comes from Rajesh, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Good morning, Nisha. I will begin with the suggestion that if we can have a gap of 2 nights between the result announcement and the earning calls, because we hardly get time to go through the result and sort of be prepared for questioning. This is too quick. That will help.
I usually receive requests to do it almost immediately, so that's why. I have received requests both ways. This is the first time I'm hearing that you want a gap, but typically people tell me that, you know, do it pretty much the next day. Because it's a result season.
Yeah, we have so many results coming out, and it takes time to go through the result and prepare questions.
I can't promise, but we'll see what we can do.
And one question is already answered. The other is order backlog. If you can give some details, what is the current order backlog?
So basically, as a few quarters before we stop reporting the order backlog and come with the MRR kind of a number. So that is what it is. But just to give you a sense around, at least from a 12-month horizon point of view, apart from MRR, we have a one-time revenue of around close to a $13 to $14 million. That is there to execute, and then the MRR meter will start. So that is broad as a number. But yeah, that is what we stopped giving the order backlog, because typically order backlog is a 3 to 4 year kind of a number, which just confused the investor. So we stopped reporting the order backlog number.
So I think, thank you. These numbers are encouraging, and we would like to see much better results in future. Thank you for the efforts you people are making.
Thank you, Rajesh. Really appreciate it.
Thank you. Next question comes from Samir Mansuri, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. Congratulations to the entire Celex team for a better result Q&Q. I have two questions, and both are related to the improvement of the top line. First is, what are the top three challenges and competition that we are facing in terms of our sales? And, you know, what is our mitigation plan to, tackle that? And second question is, do we have any focused and aggressive strategy to expand beyond telecom domain so that, you know, further our top line can improve? Thank you.
So thank you, Samir. So first of all, I think in terms of challenges, I would say they would be like any other business. I think we are facing, you know, sometimes we have headwinds on, you know, newer technology areas catching up. So that's where I think we have been very focused on making sure that we are making a lot of investments in, you know, upgrading our technology stack. So I would say that it's I think of it as, you know, a positive thing actually. It's a challenge, but it's a very positive thing because it pushes us actually. So I would say that's definitely one thing. Other is, again, you know, as sometimes the competition grows, we also see some margin squeeze coming in. Which is something that, again, you know, we have to kind of take into consideration and see how we can, you know, work on optimizing our costs so that, you know, our margins remain healthy. So I would say those are the kind of challenges that we have had. But otherwise, we seem to be doing well geographically. In terms of our strategy, and, you know, I mean, if you think about the telco revenues now, right, we do have a strategy where, you know, right now we want to double down on telcos. We are looking at some adjacencies that's under investigation. And in due course, when we make a, you know, bet, we will definitely come back and inform you more about it. But just to tell you some, you know, broad numbers, telco revenues today are at around 1.7 trillion, actually. And if you think about, you know, they spend around 400 billion on capex and opex, right, growing at 1 to 3%. So you have quite a bit of headroom actually within telcos. So while we feel that industry is not spending, if you look at it on in terms of quantum, there is a lot of headroom for growth. especially, you know, given our size and where we are, I think there is enough, more than enough for us to do here. But that's not to say that, you know, we shouldn't look at adjacencies. In fact, that's something that's an active area of conversation internally for us. And we have been investigating, you know, what are the areas. We do have some work that we have done in fintechs. This is telco wallets and, you know, that kind of area. So we are also investigating some adjacencies. And definitely, you know, in due course, I'll come back and give you more information. But this is just to give you a sense of where we are.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you, Samir.
Thank you. We have a follow-up question from Abhishek Kale, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Am I audible?
Yes, you are.
So question for Sumit. I think 3 quarters back, we had some issue with some receivables from a particular client. How are we doing in terms of recovering those dues?
So actually it's not 3 quarters, maybe around 4 quarters, sometime like a Q1 of last year.
Okay.
So we took a large write-off that time, more about just to control. So this client is sitting in the Middle East region, and it is becoming slightly difficult also to collect that receivable due to the existing issues around. We are in touch with them, but to be very honest, we have not done a much progress on this. Though the client is in touch, and there is no like a sizable improvement has happened. We have even sent them the legal notices around on that. So not much has moved on that front for that particular customer. Yeah.
Okay. Question for Nisha. Nisha, what has been the changes? I think you said that you were going to make certain changes on the sales side, right? Would you be able to spell out the details, if any, as to the changes that you have made or and you are trying to make in order for us to increase our top line? Because, I mean, I don't need to say that we need to increase our top line. You have enough things said about it.
So some of these changes are, you know, going on as we speak, Abhishek. But I think basically it is to see how we can be, I mean, the goal remains same, right? I mean, how do we become more efficient actually as an organization? And to do a more objective assessment of, you know, where the telco revenues are growing, where the investments are happening regionally, and hence, you know, where do we need more feet on the ground? Where do we need a front line to be bolstered? So those are the calls that we have been making to make sure that, you know, we bolster, you know, the areas. And we are also doing this differentiated thing on geography because, as you can imagine, right, developed countries are on a different track in terms of, you know, where the spends are. It's more on data. And whereas developing countries are still growing their subscriber base. So when you do your product offering, it can be a little bit differentiated, actually. So you don't have to take everything to everyone. So we are actually trying to sort of differentiate at that level and see how we can kind of, you know, make it more efficient, but also where is it that, you know, AI and 5G have a lot more thrust? Where is it that we are seeing the older portfolio do better? So those are the assessments and changes that have been going on. So I would say it's a work in progress, but that's what, you know, in my last 6 months, that's what I've been doing actually, trying to, you know, get this thing set so that we have better understanding of, you know, our geographies, customers, spend more time with them. So that's what's been going on really, Abhishek. I mean, I can circle back with specific details, but, you know, but if you have, like, you know, something specific you would want to know, I would be happy to tell you.
Since I'm not privy to the challenges that you guys have at a corporate level, right, I would not be the right person to tell you anything. But my ask is simple. Have we identified even the gaps that we have on our sales side, which I think from what you are saying is you are in process. It's a work in progress. So at least we are on the track, and which I think it shows in the numbers as well. But and we will have to be patient, like you said. Give me 2 or 3 quarters at least. So, but The good part is you have made progress from the last quarter to this quarter. So, I mean, rather than cribbing about what has not happened, I would rather congratulate you guys and wish you for the continued success.
Thank you so much, Abhishek. But again, you know, my request to all the, you know, investors on the call is please be patient, you know, because these things do take time, right? This is a, like I always say, this is not a small boat that you are trying to, you know, suddenly change the course. This is a large ship, so it will take some time. But we are in the process, and, you know, we are at it. So, so please be patient.
Sure. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. We have a follow-up question from Sanjay K, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello. So my question is about the headcount in the company. I mean, what is the current headcount? Was there any increment in the employee count during the Q3? And are you having hiring plans for Q3 and Q4?
So our current headcount, you know, and this may not be a precise number, but definitely in the ballpark, it's 920 people. This is including, you know, onshore, offshore. In terms of hiring, I mean, we do it need basis, you know, Sanjay, that goes on, right? As the needs of the business grow, we hire in some areas and we prune some areas. So I think those calls, I mean, that's, I would say, an ongoing activity. There is no specific I mean, obviously, as you can imagine, we are hiring more on the AI side and all that, because obviously that's a first area. So that goes on, I think. The business as usual. So,
where the annual increment is done, or it will be happening in the coming quarter there?
No, so we completed in quarter two. That's why there's the increment cost also comes into the manpower cost. Though we hold it the overall employee cost. So effectively, there's a reduction in the employee cost, but it is not reflecting due to the increment cost that's come. But I'm just saying from a comparison point of view. And increments are all done. Like the organization increments are all done. Our cycle followed is quarter two. So July is our cycle basically. So all the increments taken in July and thing. Yeah.
Oh, great. I was hoping that probably they must have done by this time. The other question is about recently I've seen there is a Bharat ID app launched by Sabex. It's on LinkedIn, it was posted. So what is that app and is it something, what's your plan for that app to, whether it should be a revenue generation or it is just for a user to use it, what's your plan for that?
I mean, we always do everything with an eye on the revenue. So that's first part, Sanjay. But basically, it's an app that helps you manage all your, you know, KYC in one place. It's like, you know, an app that gets unlocked just by your face, right? So it's a QR code that you can unlock from your face. It's like a face recognition kind of thing. But more importantly, it serves as, you know, one place where you can give. So let's say that if you're going to a bank, right, and you need to take a loan from a bank, too, I'm just putting it simply. But if they need, like, you know, three or four documents from you, you can actually give them, you can consent to those four documents being shared by the bank. And you don't have to carry a briefcase anymore, you know, with all the documents and all that with you. This actually lets you give consent and authorize documents, and only the ones that you have authorized go to the bank immediately. And all this happens without violation of any privacy. So this is where we think that, you know, technology is headed, and we are personally very excited by it, because just imagine the number of financial transactions that happen which require. And now with, you know, the regime, you know, coming to constant KYC, we believe that, you know, this should be like a really useful thing actually. So that's what we are excited about. But yeah, that's what, in a nutshell, that's what the product does actually. It can also be used for, let's say, when companies onboard employees, right? They ask for your 10th class certificate to 12th or, you know, degree certificate. So everything that's important can be, you know, in one place, which can be unlocked, and you can provide consent. So it's that sort of a thing.
Yeah, it's really interesting. And so already you have a customer, or you are piloting with any customers this app?
Yes, we are actually, and we are piloting with customers to get, you know, feedback to make sure that, you know, we sort of refine. We are doing it with our existing customer base.
Oh, that's great. That's great. And my last question is about the business, I mean, on the business side, like the products, mostly SecTrio and ID Central. So the business for that also grew in last quarter. I mean, how the, at least, are you seeing improvement in the business for security on ID Central and HyperSense, all three segments?
Yes, actually we are seeing growth in, actually the app that I was talking about, that Bharat ID is IDC's app actually. Sector has shown, you know, heavy growth, and so has, you know, core business actually. So we have grown on all three fronts, which is sort of, that's what I was referring to earlier, that when you see growth across portfolio and not concentrated in one area, it's a good sign for us.
That's great. All the best for remaining quarters, and we are hoping by Q4 we will be positive, and all the best for that.
Amen to that. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question comes from Rajkumar Oja, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Good morning, ma'am. My question is regarding Suvex account aggregator. We had participated into that. What is the progress and whether any commercial activity has commenced?
So we have applied for the license, account aggregator license. I believe that that process is still ongoing, in the sense that, you know, they have to do some due diligence. There is a decision framework. So I believe we have progressed quite well on that aspect, but the license is not granted yet. We are still awaiting, you know, grant of the license. So.
Okay. My next question is, ma'am, in the last con call, you promised that after 1 year, we'll see real profits. Now, can I say 1 quarter has passed and only 9 months are left?
I truly hope so. I would not want it to be a moving target, but yes,
actually. Actually, we have been working for the last 12 years. And nothing has materialized.
No, thank you so much for your patience. We truly appreciate it. And, you know, interest is definitely front and center for me.
I am invested in Suvex since 29-12-2009. For so long. Anyway,
I'm very grateful to you. Very grateful to you and very grateful for your support. But, you know, hopefully, you know, definitely the focus is to do right by you.
My last request is, as one of the persons put a question to you, that please keep us informed in between con calls or in the quarter, the progress that you are making on the new licenses that you are winning, so that keeps the momentum high, because the company is not doing well. And these little information, they keep us, you know, in a good health.
Sure. I take that feedback on board.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Oh, my pleasure.
Thank you. That would be the last question for the day. Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes your conference for today. Thank you for your participation and for using Door Sabha's conference call service. You may disconnect your lines now. Thank you and have a good day.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am.